Transforming Bodies, a judgment-free zone where Trish answers all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Find out what and who is the latest and greatest, and gain clarity on what options are out there to leave you feeling good in your body.
Hello listeners, it's Trish here from the Transforming Bodies podcast. And today I'm joined by specialist plastic surgeon, Dr. Puriya Moradi, who's based in Sydney. And we're going to have a talk about a new book that he's actually written, which is called Normal, but we'll find out more from Dr. Moradi. So welcome and thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Moradi.
Oh, thank you, Trish. Thanks for having me. It's good to connect with you after all these years. Well, we've known each other for probably 10 years now.
Yeah, I can remember coming into your clinic and probably doing my first ever video.
I remember that.
In your clinic, I know. So funny. Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I've actually ordered my book. I'm so excited to read this book. But tell us, like, where did this happen? First of all, what's it called?
Okay, well, so the book's called Normal, A Plastic Surgeon's Letter. Plastic Surgeon's Letter to His Daughters About Body Image. And so that's what it's called. And why it happened was I have three daughters, Rosie, Evie, Tessa, 11, 9 and 7, to year 5, year 4 and year 2. And about 3 years ago, when Rosie, the eldest, was in year 2, at her school, they have like a, and about November every year, the year twos, which ironically is my younger daughter, Tessa, is in year two. She's about to do what Tessa did, what Rosie did 3 years ago, where they have like a little swim event for, and every day the girls or the school go to the local swimming pool. And every day Rosie would turn up with different swim outfit and swimwear. Not once was she body conscious or did care at all about what she looked like. And I kind of had a, you know, existential crisis where I was like, well, I'm a father of three daughters, but I'm a plastic surgeon who makes money out of women's insecurities, women's, you know, body image, and where's my role in all this, and how long will she remain this innocent little girl? So then that was November 2019, and I thought about it over Christmas, went over to the UK to visit my, you know, wife's family. I had talks to people, and then January 2020, Australia Day, Australia time, Kobe Bryant passed in that horrific helicopter accident with one of his daughters. Mm-hmm. And he had four daughters, and I was reading his, you know, biographies and getting into his career, because I missed most of his career because I was more of a Michael Jordan fan. And it got me thinking about what, you know, he talks about Mamba mentality. He was, you know, had four daughters himself. So that got me thinking about maybe I do need to write this book. And then this is 2020, and a few months later, we went into lockdowns for COVID. So I was like, okay, I think the world is speaking to me. I need to write this book. And it's had different versions and different ideas. And, you know, I finished it probably towards the end of last year. And it's taken me a while to find someone to publish it and get the ball rolling. So here we are.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So the inspiration was, of course, your daughters.
Correct.
And you, because it is hard being, I don't even know how you cope with three daughters, because I had two and that was enough. But three daughters with just the only parent in the family.
We've got Tim Tam. We've got the Droodle dogs.
So perfect.
Me and Tim Tam are holding up the male species in our household.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm so stoked. I've ordered my book, so I actually can't wait to get it. And I haven't got it yet, so okay. I don't know what's in it. So it's hard. But so, first of all, it took you 2 years to write. So it's obviously, it's obviously something, it's a passion project by the sound of it as well. Like, I've got to do this. I've got to do this for my daughters. And I've got to do this for everyone else to read as well.
But yeah.
They'd be too young to read it now, I get. Well,
No, it's written for tweens, so they've got a copy. It's getting published on the 10th of October, which is actually my birthday. We're trying to publish it in April for one daughter's birthday. That came and went, and then we thought Mother's Day, that came and went, and then one the other daughter. So anyway, we're doing October. So I've got like 20 copies printed. They've got one on their bedside, and they're reading it. And they kind of, you know, they're enjoying it. They kind of get it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, 10th of October is the official launch date where all the books that you've ordered will be posted out to you.
Oh, fantastic. So you've actually written it for teenagers?
Yeah, I think it's for tweens and parents of tweens, correct.
Oh, great. So I'm just thinking, when I was younger, there was a book that came out called Everybody, and it was for women, and it was sort of the book that we read as we grew past, adolescence into, young adulthood. And that was like a, a book that we all had to read. And I'm kind of seeing, is this something that you imagine might be taken on by the schools? Because is there any problem with boys reading it as well?
Yeah, no, I think there are bits that are very gender neutral. Essentially, why the book's called Normal is because I had patients say to me, "Thank you for making me feel normal," or "I want to feel normal," and that just kept resonating. So that's why it's called Normal. And there's bits on, transgender, gender fluidity on there. There's a big chapter on the development of breasts, how they develop, different things that can go wrong or right with breast development. And I talk about social media, body dysmorphia. So it does affect men as well. And I talk about boys in it, with prominent ears and rhinoplasties and vascular malformations that all these kids can get. But it is probably geared a little bit more to daughters and girls.
Yeah, because like body dysmorphia is just so huge. Like, and I without trying to get all the information from your book without the book, but can you tell us a little bit about like how would you even start a topic of conversation like this with someone so young? Like, how's it presented?
I guess for me, and I talk and I write about it in the book at the start, is if your child had bad teeth and needed to go to a dentist or orthodontist, you wouldn't hesitate twice for sending them without really knowing much about the anatomy or embryology of it. You just know it's the right thing to do. And I guess a lot of the things we do in plastic surgery is not necessarily cosmetic, it's very much functional. So we interview a couple of a lot of my patients, but one of my patients who at the age of 12 just had very large breasts, gigantomastia. She had like double H cup breasts.
Oh, poor
And
girl.
yeah, so surgery doesn't always have to be a cosmetic procedure whilst they have cosmetic benefits from it. For her, it was such a functional thing, and she felt like she was getting sexualized at an early age because she had such big breasts. And the problems with them, you'd never go down surgical paths with most things, but sometimes surgery is the only option. Someone has cleft lip and palate, sometimes surgery is the only option. So that's kind of what I talk about, and saying, we talk about the reconstructive ladder in surgery, where we, you work up the rungs from non-invasive to invasive, but sometimes you need to have a reconstructive elevator where you get off at the right level. Sometimes surgery is the only option. Sometimes braces are the only option. But it's just empowering people to understand when it is the right time, why they need it as well. I did a labiaplasty on a 17-year-old the other week. Now, I usually don't do it in that age, but she had gross asymmetry. She couldn't wear clothing. She, swimwear was a problem. Now, whilst 99.9% of labiaplasties are done by, patients over the age of, 21 post-pregnancy, don't like the appearance of it, this was purely functional, and no amount of, waiting was going to make this gross asymmetry and dragging feeling any better. And I see a lot of letters from GP, or talk to a lot of patients who have what's called tuberous breast deformity, where the breasts have developed differently. And they see their GP, and the GP's like, "Oh, wait till you're older and you'll grow out of it. They'll, the uneven breasts will catch up." And it's just so these kids are living from the age of 12 and 13 with uneven breasts or very large breasts until 18. And, they're pretty important years. So it's good to know the options that are available. Even if you don't operate, early, you need to know when is a good time to operate.
Totally. I can relate to that on a personal level because I always had from grade 7, I think I had massive breasts, and it actually affected my whole life. And I didn't get them done until I was in my 40s. And I'm like, God, why did I wait so long? Because the trauma that those massive breasts caused me over the years. And it's just, and it's fun what you said about the labiaplasty. I also have a friend whose daughter got one done at 17, and hers was purely functional as well. She was a horse rider in competitions and stuff like that, and it was just so, it was functional. And she got done it, and she reckons the first thing she said, she goes, "Oh my God, I look normal." That was the first thing she had to say after the surgery.
Yeah, no, and it's that word normal that keeps coming up.
Yeah, yeah, it's so right. And even I know myself, I've even said, oh my God, I look so normal. Like, so you don't know what they're living within in their own head. Hey, so this is a great way to attack that, but or just to bring an awareness to it before it even starts. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, it's just, you know what it is? It's about empowerment and owning your own agency of decision. You know, you don't have to have surgery. No one, like, actually not the right thing to do most of the time, but it's good to be able to make that decision. Like the 17-year-old at the labiaplasty, she was more knowledgeable of this procedure than any of my quote unquote adult patients.
Yeah. Yep.
Which was great because it was, you know, it was great to see from my point of view, and empowering for me to see that, you know, this generation is taking responsibility and for their health.
Oh, totally. And it's like you, for something like that, I think, you know, people who are having that, or girls that are having that, ladies that are having that done, like they've done a lot of research. Like you wouldn't go into something like that, you know, without doing a lot of research, you know, because it's.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you've been in that, the forum industry. You see all the latest HCCC rules to try to minimize content, which mm-hmm. I think is a problem because the content is so important for people to have access to.
Yeah, totally. And I love the fact that you're, you know, providing this book as a tool, because it's obviously like I'm going to want to read it. You know, I'm sure my husband's going to read it. We're grandparents, and then we've got, you know, the uncles and the aunties and the mums and the dads. So this is a book that everybody can read, but it's kind of designed for, like, so what ages really? I know anybody, but
I think it's for it's parents and tweens and parents of tweens.
Yeah, yep. Okay, and even grandparents too.
Yeah, that's the goal of it. And it's been nerve-wracking along the way, like more so now, as you know, the publishing date comes, and I've read it so many times.
Of course, of course.
Okay, is anyone gonna? Yeah, yep. We'll see. You got to put yourself out there sometimes.
Well, that's true. That's true. You got to share your information. And sometimes when you put it in that box that you put it in, like normal, that in itself is just, you know, it's brilliant. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. But I think when I have those nervous moments, I think you go back to the core of it. The core was, you know, to help, you know.
The why, yep.
Yeah, the why, yeah. And it's helped, and if nothing else, it's helped me understand the process as well. So maybe deep down I kind of did it for myself mm-hmm. and not anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's, you know, giving me some clarity into my role as a parent, then fantastic.
Yeah, totally. And is there any time that you think that, I mean, I don't know if this is a relevant question, but there's got to be a time when you think, I've done a good job with these kids. And I think just the fact that if you can bring up children are not conscious of the way they look, you know, like if they're too fat or if their belly's too big or whatever, because, you know, because I've grown up as an obese child through to adulthood until, you know, probably about 20, 30 years ago. So I've grown up with that, and I kind of instilled a bit of that in my kids. And just to have with the grandkids, I'm uber careful what to say, you know, not, you know, like, oh, you know, you're eating too much or anything like that, because that's what I kind of grew up with. So you just do what you know. But
yeah,
even for someone like that, just reading a book like this, I'm thinking can be a little bit therapeutic. Am I right?
Yeah, no, yeah, you're absolutely right. I that's a good angle for it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, I didn't think of it like that, but I like that way to look at it.
Yeah. And how have you detailed in the book, because like obviously it's about young girls finding, you know, accepting, you know, who and what they are, but also the acknowledgement of when they might actually need some help?
Yeah, no, and I guess, yeah, it's because what you don't want to do is think that you're suffering by yourself. So the best example is this tuberous breast, where breasts develop unevenly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of patients just don't even know what options there are available to them, or, you know, the patient with large breasts, or, you know, we interview a transgender patient of mine, and the options available to these patients, because you just don't want people to suffer silently. And you know, the labiaplasty, the tuberous breast, a lot of them time the girls haven't shown their mum. I mean, of course they don't show their dads, but they haven't even shared that experience with their mums. So, and that's, you know, something you'd think they would do. And then what, you know, look, a lot of the patients, when I examine them, they don't want their parents to be around because they've got this shame and embarrassment about it, which is the exact wrong thing, because it's back to the tooth analogy. If you've got uneven teeth, you wouldn't be, you know, it's part of development, and so is abnormal breast development.
Yeah, because like I remember when I was at school, one of the kids at school had really big ears and protruding ears, and they got their ears done, and it wasn't even a second thought then. It was just something that you did, and it was purely an aesthetic thing in that
Yeah,
case,
correct. And you
functional.
know, we talk. I talk about that in the book as well, about otoplasties and how it's performed, and what you know, interviewing a patient, because that's a classic example. Because a lot of the otoplasty patients, the boys anyway, all have long hair, because they just grow their hair long so nobody sees their ears, and then the young girls never put their hair up in a ponytail. They've always got their hair out because they've always worried about the prominent ears and you know, being teased, I guess.
Yeah, of course. So obviously you got a few interviews in the book then, like what are the I want to know what the chapters are. That's what I really want to know.
So I guess this first chapter, I don't have a book with
Have you
me.
got a book there?
No, not on me, not on me.
I was
I
going to
can
get
forget.
so excited.
So there's a chapter called Breast Wishes. It's about breast development and how the breast develops. Sorry, I'm just trying to get
Yeah, so
this
it's actually
here.
it's relative to them as well. Like it's not just which
Yes, yeah, so
of course it
chapter
would
one
be.
is what's normal anyway, you know, going through what's normal. Chapter two is body dysmorphia. Chapter three, breast wishes. Chapter four, face values. Chapter five, parts down under, talking about, you know, labiaplasties and that. Chapter six, born this way, talking about, you know, things you can have from birth. Chapter seven, about Hunger Games, anorexia and eating disorders. Chapter eight is about, you know, selfie image and social media, and chapter eight and nine. And chapter 10 is tattoos, piercings, and other body adornments.
Oh, that's good. So you haven't shied away from anything, really.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, I've got to say, I can't even tell you how excited I am to get this book.
Yeah,
I've
I'm
ordered one for
so,
my girls as well, and my
no, I'm
granddaughters.
pumped
They're
that
going to
you're
have their own
pumped.
copy.
Like,
Oh, I'm so excited. As soon as I found out, I thought, oh my God, I need to get this on the podcast and spread it out as far as I can as well, because it just sounds like necessary reading, because I know what it's like to bring up girls and when. You know, like changing your clothes a dozen times because you're just not happy with the way you look. It's just heartbreaking.
yeah, I know. It's and maybe that's why I end up writing the book, trying to self-soothe myself when I have to have those problems when my girls hit their teenage years.
Exactly. It sounds like you're being really selfish.
Yeah, it's all
Make it
about
easier for you.
me.
Look, I've got to say, well, from everybody, like that's going to enjoy it as well. Thank you so much for doing this because it just sounds like you always think that everything good in the world has already been done. But when something like this, you think, wow, why didn't someone do this any sooner? It just makes so much sense. And we haven't had a book like this that's kind of like a, you know, like a book that you should, you know, that all girls should read, you know, in a certain time in their life. And we haven't had something like that for ages. You know, like I've got a friend who's an author, and she wrote the Anti-Princess series, and it's just so perfect because it's sort of like not that every girl has to be a princess kind of thing, you know, whereas a lot of them just want to be a princess, but it's all like I love it. I love something like this, so it's great.
Well, it's, you know, it's like if you, I mean, I've got three daughters, as I said. If a boy wanted to be a prince or a boy wanted to be this, we wouldn't think twice and we'd go good on them. But as soon as, like, we need to teach girls to have, you know, agency of their decision. It's their decision, and whatever decision they do, we would never second guess a little boy having weird dreams like that. But as soon as it's a girl, I think we're a little bit more judgmental. So hopefully that's what we can teach our kids.
Oh, that's so true. Well, look, I've got to say, I can't wait. So where are we going to be able to buy the book? Is it just
Oh,
online or?
yeah. So the website's normalbook.com.au. And then eventually it will be on Amazon and all those other bookstores. But normalbook.com.au is
Oh,
where
easy.
you,
Good name
yeah.
for it. Normalbook.com.au. I'll put
There
a
you go.
link in with the podcast as well. So, look, thank you so much for joining me today. I can't wait.
Amazing, Trish. Thanks for
I'll probably have a
having
million
me.
questions after I've read it. I'm going to be like, oh, I want to interview now. Thank you
And
so
you know what
much.
I do say in the book, it's not a like it's got the book is pure what it's purely about the message, and it's not like a plastic surgical book about talking about me. There's very little actually anything about me. It's all about development and that. So it's not made for me to try to promote myself. It's more it's just I don't know, as it's gone on, I've kind of thought, why have I done this? Why have I done this? It's been so stressful, but that's what I always come back to is like the messaging, what the messaging is about.
No, absolutely. And if it's not going to be, if it wasn't hard to do, then it's not going to, I mean, it's just different. If, I think if it's harder to do, it
No.
is to do, the better result it is. And anyway. Well, look, thank you so much
Well,
for
thank you
joining
so
us
much.
tonight. I appreciate it. And listeners have listened. So if you want to buy the book, you can buy it online. It's pre-order at the moment. I can't wait to get my copy. So it's just normalbook.com.au. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Moradi.
Thanks, Trish.
Got a burning question for Trish? Message her on Instagram at Transforming Bodies, or join the 12,000 plus people in the Facebook group Plastic Surgery Support Forum for Aussie Chicks.